Exodus 33, last week, it was the obedience of Moses and his helpers, and Solomon and his helpers, carrying out the instructions in building tabernacles and the temple. And so, we're going to read tonight about the reward of God to them for following his instruction. In 33, look at verse 14. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein now shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not that thou goest with us, so that we are separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" The favor of God is present, his favor toward the people, their separation from all others upon the face of the earth. Now, chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward throughout all their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not through the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journey. Now, turn over to Numbers, chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, even the tent of the testimony. And it even, it was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel encamped. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they encamped. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And sometimes the cloud was a few days on the tabernacle. Then, according to the commandment of the Lord, they remained in camp, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And sometimes the cloud was from even until morning. And when the cloud was taken up in the morning, they journeyed. Or, if it continued by day and by night, when the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whenever it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, abiding thereon, the children of Israel remained in camp, and journeyed not. But, when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they encamped, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord by Moses. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the fascinating portion of our words, this book of thy treasure, we pray that our souls shall never know it, but let us understand that as clearly and surely as your voice was heard through the lips of thy Son when he was on earth, so thy voice was heard and these words are read in the ears of thy people. Help us to understand those words and let us profit by them. Let us realize the purpose for which thy Spirit inspires. And so cleanse us and empower us and purify us and give us receptive hearts. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Think on those words and see if they mean to you what they did to Moses. God was angry with Israel because they had made the golden calf, because they had disobeyed his commandments. And the Lord said, let me alone and I will destroy them and make a bigger, greater nation. And Moses interceded with God. And he said, Lord, what is going to manifest thy favor to us other than thy presence with us? And he said, if thou go not up with us, then do not send it. And Lord, what is thy favor to us than the separation of us from all the people upon the face of the earth? Now, think of this. Two blessings of God. His presence and our separation. And I'm wondering if we as children of God feel the same about this as a blessing from God as Moses in his insight into what was a blessing from God. Just like our Savior, he says, blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. You think you say, well, it's not so pleasant to be me. Blessed are they that mourn, who wants to be powerful all the time. And yet the Lord says, blessed. And you think of these things that the Lord pronounces as blessed, and then you say, well, they must be. The Lord has said it. And you think of Moses and the importance he set upon the presence of God with him, and their separation from the rest of the people of the earth, and you say, this must be of great importance. And so, let me ask you this question. How many of you would want to go through life alone? Not me. I would be scared to death to try to go through life alone. Now, do you say, well, because if you go not with us, I don't want to go, and neither do I. I see what it is in the world, even with the promise of God to go with me. And if God had forsaken me, or if I had not God to go with me through the world, I would say to the Lord, I'm not going. I'm just going to sit down here and die. And so Moses said, this is your favor, your presence with us. And at the same time, my separation from the people of the world, isn't it strange that some of us such as lot, like the Goldstein problem, and put in the gate of the city, and we say, why, an influential place in the world, that is favor. And Moses said, that is a disapproval of God. He said, your favor is your presence with us, and our separation from all the people of the face of the earth. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And so, separation, and the divine presence, those are the blessings, and those are the distinctions between us and the world. And so why is it that you want to walk a life separate from your Savior? And why is it that you want to mingle with the world? I want to have religion. And it says in James 1, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, who visits the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And it says in Galatians chapter 1, that the will of God is that he might deliver us out of the present evil world. And we haven't forgotten that what distinguishes us from the rest of the world is God's presence with us and our separation from them. And that is why God is constantly telling us to live separated lives, not a holy and thou attitude, not that we do not go into the world to seek sinners, but it said concerning the early church that nobody dared join themselves to the church. Why? Because the fear of God was in their midst, and that's why, and there was purity, and there was fellowship with God, and the world saw it, and they said, we don't have anything to do with it. And yet, I wonder when worldlings could come in among us and go right at home. Why should they? If they would feel at home as sinners being welcomed by friends who want them to be saved, that is one thing. But if they can sit down next to you and me and feel no difference in our life that is supposed to be holy, and our knowledge of God, and our response to the teachings of the book, and something is wrong. And so Moses said, Lord, I want your presence, and I want you to enable us to be a separated people. These are the blessings of God. And so the Lord said to Moses, all right, I will go with you. And so when the tabernacle was completed, this is the way that God manifested himself to them, going with them. He said, I will be a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That is how I shall manifest my presence. Now, God could have been with them without any visible manifestation, but at this time, just as he gave them a tabernacle, something material with which they could worship, you see, now we worship God in spirit and in truth. At that time, they worshiped God with lambs and goats and the rituals that the Lord set forth in the book of Leviticus and elsewhere. Now we worship God in spirit and in truth. But the presence of God was known by looking over the tabernacle, and that cloud was there. They could say, God is with us. How are we going to know that God is with us today? They've owned that for a while. And so there were two things. Notice, it said the cloud of God was above it, and the glory of God was in it. The cloud above it was the omnipotence of God for their protection and guidance, and the glory of God was within for their favor and their privilege. And that is how it is with us. We have guidance, and we have God who guide us and protect us, and we have God within us, the favor of God, the divine presence within us. These things are true today. And yet, we have no cloud about us. At times, the Moses has been with God, his face shown, and people could look at him and tell he's been in the presence of God, and perhaps that can be told today. I remember that just before Stephen was stoned, because his faith was as the faith of an angel. And I'm wondering if I have communed with God without any artificiality, if it is something of the appearance of God, of the fragrance of Christ about me, if I've been communing with him. I wonder if God has to make my faith to shine to let people know that I've read my Bible and prayed. And at the same time, I wonder if I am so dense and acute that I have to have an actual pillar of cloud to let me know where I am to go. For God to tell me, you are not to go to that den of iniquity. No, you are not to invest your life there. Are we so dull that we cannot comprehend the will of God and the guidance of God? Have we not set the cloud before us in telling us where we should go and where we should not go, with whom we should fellowship and with whom we should not fellowship? And yet we look at it, and when God gives us the guidance, we do not accept that guidance. And yet that is the favor that Moses spoke to God about, your presence with us. And so, as the Israelites at that time had the cloud above and the glory within, we have that today. And that cloud, I told you, being above, was the omnipotence of God, not only to guide them, but to protect them. And that cloud is brought to our attention before it covers upon the tabernacle, because in Exodus chapter 14, when Pharaoh was pursuing the children of Israel, it says the angel of the Lord went behind them, and the cloud. they were nothing happened. But then, finally, God allowed Pharaoh to come forward. And so, the omnipotence of God is in the cloud to guide, but at the same time, to protect him. You remember what he said to, so even Job wanted, when Satan wanted to destroy Job, he said, go this far, that is as far as you can go. The cloud still comes between us and our enemies, and they would come and destroy us. And the Lord Jesus said, the pilot, you will have more authority over me, unless it is given you from above. And so that cloud is still here to protect us and to guide us. But one other thing, that glory is still within us. It says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I was telling you this morning about the Lord Jesus saying that the Father would come and abide in them as the Father abode in Christ, and Christ abode in the Father. Right now, we are in Christ, and the Father is in us. The Lord Jesus said, if a man keep my word, my Father and I will come, and we will take up our abode with him. And so just as in the Old Testament, God took up his abode with the Israelites in the cloud, so now in the Spirit of God, the Father has taken up his abode, and the Son has taken up his abode with him. And so we still have the cloud, we still have the guidance, all of these things are our hope. But now, think of this a moment. I ask you this. Who would want to go through life alone? Why? No sinners in the world want to go through life alone. Don't you realize that? So the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him. And then the Lord Jesus laid before him all the conditions. It says, the young man's countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. He said, I won't go through life alone. I would rather have material things than have you to go through life with me, because the Lord Jesus said, come, follow me. He could go through life with Christ, or if he could not obey the Lord, he would have to go through life alone. And he said, I will go through life alone. And so that's supposed to be the difference between us and rich and ruler. But the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And whatever the condition is that he lays down, we follow him. That's the important thing. And so, who would want to go through life without the Lord Jesus, to go through life alone? I shudder to think of any difference. If the Lord will forever put his hand away. The Bible says, the Lord is able to make his servant to stand. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus is that table that supports his people that are upon it. No, I'm not going through life alone. The Lord Jesus is with me. And this is what he promises. He says in Matthew chapter 28, he says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It says in Hebrews 13:5, let your manner of life be without covetousness and with the every such thing that you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor will in any wise forsake thee, so that with confidence we may say, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do. And so the Lord is with us always. You know Psalm 23. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The most important thing in life is knowing that when you go through life, the Lord Jesus is with you. The shadow of death, the Lord Jesus is with me. That is important. But now let me ask you this. You do not want to go through life alone. Well, would you go someplace that the Lord Jesus told you not to go? I'm thinking of Paul and Silas. And my answer is, not me. And the answer of Paul and Silas, we also refuse to go where the Lord does not want us to go. Because in Acts 16, they're trying to serve God. And they try to go to Bithynia. And they try to go to Mysia. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus says, no. And therefore they say, when they're not. Good. So, but I told you not to go home. Do you insist on doing it? If you do, you have happened. You have gone, and the Lord Jesus has been left behind. You are going to life alone. And so not only unsaved people go to the Lord Jesus, I don't want to do life with you. Not under those conditions, and so Christians at the same time, and the Lord says, I don't want you to go there. And you say, well, I want to go anyway. So then, you think the Lord goes with you? And so, another thing, let me ask you. So if the Lord told you to go a certain place that you did not want to go, would you prefer to go to that place with the Lord or stay where you thought it was and be left alone? I mention that because in John chapter 11, Lazarus is sick. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, have any Lazarus is sick, but I go that I may awake him from his sickness, awake him from his sleep. And the disciples said, Master, but you have only been sick into the territory. And are you going back again? And then the Lord Jesus spoke a little word to them. And they understand that his heart will set the door and heal Lazarus. They raise from the dead. And this is what Thomas said. He looked at the disciples and he said, let us also go, that we may die with him. Look at this. He said, I think the Lord is taking the truth. It's going to result in our death. He said, but let us also go that we may die with him. Now, do you want to do that? Suppose you know you can go here and live, but the God wants you to go here. And you're going to die. What did you do? Now you think of your life. Think of the little miserable life that you live day by day. The little inconveniences of life. And God says, I want you to go here, for I do not want you to go there. And you say, for the more convenient reason of, I can't be bothered. You see? And so when you see that, then the Lord says, I want you to go there. If you stay here, and the Lord is there, then, we're left alone, you see? Because, this is what Brother Gordon said. I remember, on one occasion, he was telling me this. He was saying that he was a missionary in Africa. He was born in Africa. And he heard somebody get him say, Mother Nolo! He said, Mother Nolo. He said, what word is that in the African language? Mother Nolo. He said, what does that mean? He said, if we do not grow, then there is no low. He said, go into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. No go, no lo. He said, oh, so that's the book. He said, God says, no go, no lo. He said, you go, and I'm with you. And if you refuse to go, if the Lord with you anyway, well, you should go out. And so Thomas said, I would rather go and die with the Lord, to have him with me, and me be with him, rather than stay here and remain in Satan. And so, to have God to go with you through life, that's the important thing. No matter if it entails danger of privation, the presence of God is the important thing. To know that the Lord Jesus is with you. The Apostle Paul said this, he said, if my flesh is weak, no man should harm me. And then he said, the Lord should harm me. And so I'm wondering, would you rather have men to stand by you, but leave the Lord over there? Or had you rather stand alone for God and have the Lord to stand by you? And I know the answer that you'll give in what you say. You say, tomorrow morning, it's a little inconvenient to read your Bible and pray, or come out to the prayer meeting, or attend all the services, and then you find, well, Lord, yes, I want you to go through life with me, and I want to go through life with you, but it's so inconvenient. To keep these things in mind. The favor of God is the presence of God. And God says, my presence is with you, and you follow the guidance that I give. But if they call the tabernacle, and then the clouds rise above and go forward, and they say, I have other light that you're taking. I like these palm trees, whose springs of water. I rather like it here. I'm going to stay. And the crowd goes on, and the people of God leave you, and you're going to be like that God. You understand that? And so, you cannot say, well, even in my sin, our God is saying this, and we, God, is on
on the earth, and he's everywhere, but it is such a thing as the special presence of God. At no time is the Holy Spirit not with the Lord Jesus, but there was a special presence, so at his baptism, they descended from heaven as a God in gold and iron. And in one sense, God is never without being where you are, and in another sense, God promised to keep you and protect you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and it's a fearful thing to walk outside the protecting hands of God. And some Christians have found it out through their disappointment. And to think of this, because some Christians don't realize it. But the whole life of Israel was regulated by that tabernacle, the temple of worship. Now, is your life regulated that way? The tabernacle was the temple of worship. And when the tabernacle rested, then the children of Israel rested where the tabernacle was. And if the tabernacle went further, the children of Israel went further. Therefore, the temple of the guidance of God was the tabernacle. The worship was the center of the activity of Israel. Is that your life? And if I look at some person, they think it's a work, what does it mean to stay at that? That's primary. And it says, the Lord has told me, I've never thought of this. I can't conceive of such a thing. I know that Lord says morning, I'm beginning with the people of God, and Lord says evening, and prayer meeting, and if there's a social meeting arranged by the church family, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. I don't think, shall I go or shall I not go? I don't think that way. Here is the tabernacle, and the child gets up and goes forward, and some of the disciples may be saying, well, he's supposed to go forward. You don't think that way. Of course they go forward. The whole nation of Israel went forward. What is your question about it? The movement was determined by their temple of worship. And let me say this. And do you think it's driving time? A few years back, I had an opportunity to go to India. I told my wife, well, you get me a good price to go over to England and I'll go. And I think she got me a round trip for less than $300, and so I couldn't do anything but go. And so I said, well, before I go, I have to find out if they have an assembly at which I can meet, and if that assembly will receive me. And so I ran long distance across the ocean and said, is there an assembly there? Will they receive me and let me remember the Lord there? And then, yes, come, and I'm prepared to go. And I'll tell you the truth. The Lord said there was no assembly, we don't know what will happen on the Lord's day. I would not have gone to England, because the center of my life, and it should be the center of your life, the Lord Jesus said, push me. And yet there are those, because I can get a promotion in life that are, couldn't take me away from God, and will take me away from the people, but I think it's an elevation, promotion in life. That's exactly what God said was not his favor. The favor of life is my presence with you, and your separation from the people. And the important thing in life is that tabernacle and your relation to you. You understand that? And so if you're not in a proper relation with that tabernacle that is in the midst, then it lost God's favor. You think you're getting on in life, you've lost everything in life. You have no favor, you have no success. The success is being in a right relationship with that tabernacle of God. And you'll find this, I won't go into detail now, but that tabernacle had a certain location in the midst, and then the priest had a certain place in relation to it, and the Levites, and Judah, and Reuben, and Simeon, all the tribes, they had their relative position too. You see, as I go through life, my whole life is to be governed by the worship and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking of the service of the Lord. And so, if I am out of place, even though I follow the tabernacle, that is wrong. So there is decency and order, and so I follow the tabernacle, and God says, I want you here. And so I don't try to get here. And so there is a proper relationship to this tabernacle. Keep that in mind. But if your life ever is satisfied being away from the tabernacle and the people of God, then you've lost the favor of God. And you find the favor of men. And this is what it says in John chapter 11. It says chapter 12. It says, nevertheless, many of the rulers believed on him. Nevertheless, they did not confess him, because
love the glory that is of man more than the glory that is of God. Now, this we realize. And so, this is what we say.
And I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of how irritating and how boring it would be. So, see here what it says? I hope you know this when you're sitting. I love it that way. Over and over and over again, it says, if the cry went up, then the people went forward. If the cry fell around, the people went in. If the cry went up, they went forward. If the cry would tell this over and over and over again, the cloud determined where they were to be. If the cloud is not there, it will not. But it says it over and over again until it becomes irritating, and when you find yourself in life, having to be told again and again, you're not following the cloud. The cloud is the thing. The cloud is moving forward. Why are you carrying behind? Now the cloud is set around. Why are you going forward? And another thing. It said at times that cloud, and this is when I'm missing God, the cloud went for Eden, and then it stopped. And so the people would settle down, and they would get their tent unfurled, and they would set up the tabernacle. First thing in the morning, they step out with the wooden folk, they bring on the deck. They say, why do you have to go through all of this thing? And they say, I can't tell you. Can't tell you at all. Any more than I can tell you, by the Lord Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and row to the other side and the Lord told you. And a storm comes up and they are roaring and roaring and roaring and they never get to the other side. And then the Lord comes to me walking upon the water. Why not, Lord? Let me show myself. I'm so tired. I'll be more alert tomorrow morning. If you let me get a good night's sleep, the Lord can go to the boat and row to the other side. Now, while God says, I want to travel today and in the night, tomorrow, and in the morning, I want to go. And it's just sometimes you would say 2 days, sometimes a month, sometimes a year. And you would say, well, Lord, how do you want to stay a year in this location? I'm not saying that. I'm simply showing you the principle set forth in this book that God has his ways and his reasons, and we are not to know why, but what we will go without God. And today, it isn't visible, and it isn't audible at that time of life. You may read in the next chapter, you may read in Numbers chapter 10, in contrast, or in complement to chapter 9. In chapter 9, they saw the guidance of God. In chapter 10, they heard, because they played, clothed, trumpets. And others, the command to go forward was given, they saw the trumpets to be played for the good. When the crowd rose up, they could see, and so they couldn't miss it. They have 2 senses, they could see and they could hear. And so in like manner, there are heroes and more that we can have to see the way of God. But that comes from you as well. And there are those who know. And so God wants to protect the people, and God wants to guide us. That is for sure that our life is accompanied by this. And so. Now, Father, for the last four, for the thinking that there is anything that is inconvenient to us, please our way. I say that said to us, you have been honest, you have lost the Christ. And so if you want us to go and pray tonight, and then pop up again tomorrow, let us realize that we have no reason to complain. We are not at home. And if you would have us to feel you're in a place that is unpleasant, that is tormented, that we are not at home. And let us simply know that we need a supply. Let us make it sound as a trumpet of God. And let us fully be willing to be guided by you. You have not that cloud in that trumpet literally, so that our eyes and our ears can hear. And yet, honor our servant speaking so that our ears are hearing, and if not our words in our hands, so that we can read and see what the word of God tells us to do. And so by thy spirit within, let us hear thy voice through thy servant, and let us read thy word and let us pray interpretation. And let us be those who can say the baby. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And let there be, Father, and boom, because we are carrying thy doctrine to the land and the earth. Fear and justice, and sure us